and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had a blessed Monday, or a blessed weekend, an awesome Monday. A lot of stuff going on down here in Florida. Great weather, no chemtrails, nice and hot. Supposed to rain, but it's not going to. How are you doing today, Deb?
Wait a minute. It's not raining there yet?
No, it's not going to rain here.
Well, no, it was supposed to rain here all weekend in North Carolina. We had a little bit of rain Saturday night, no more rain yesterday, and no rain today. So it's kind of like they do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it here in North Georgia and also down in Florida. So I guess when they decide they're going to let it rain, they're going to let it rain. But other than that, I'm doing absolutely wonderful.
Good. Yeah, that's pretty much the way I've seen it with the weather modification in Florida. I mean, I've lived here my entire life, and generally starting about May going into June, you know, you could pretty much count on a 3 to 4 o'clock shower there here pretty much every day. You know, usually about 20 to 30 minutes of monsoon, and then it'd be done. It'd be sunny again after that, and it'd be sunny most part of the day before that. Now we haven't been getting any of that. I mean, even the light mist, and I mean mist, like the kind of mist that you use on a water bottle with a fan on it when you're at an amusement park and you're spraying your face with mist. That's the kind of rainstorms that we're getting now for about 10 minutes. It's mist. And, yeah, so they've been saying it's supposed to be 60, 70% chance of rain since last Friday. Didn't happen, hasn't happened. It's nice and dry, so we're just enjoying the crispy grass and the clear blue skies. And other than that, yeah, it's great down here.
And, how are your chemtrails doing? They're spraying the yak out of us up here.
It actually hasn't been bad at all. That's been one of the only redeeming effects. It seems to be wherever they're putting them else is essentially pushing those pressure zones somewhere else to push the rain somewhere else, and it's not in Florida. So the chemtrails are gone, but also the rain's gone, so you kind of take both of them. We're blessed, though, we live in Florida because we have the natural aquifers and we have a plethora of lakes and ponds everywhere, so we don't really ever run out of water really at all, because we're on a peninsula, essentially one side away from being an island with an aquifer underneath us, so we got an abundance amount of water even if it doesn't rain, so that's a blessing.
It is. What's your first story, buddy?
Well, first one, this is pretty wild here. I saw it last year, and we talked about it, but now it looks like they're closing next month. Verizon, remember last year, said it was going to buy out Yahoo's core internet properties for $4.83 billion in cash, marking the end of the line for a storied web pioneer and setting the stage for a big new internet push by the telecom giant. Looks like now they're going to be closing for $250 million less than that, and it looks like they are supposed to finalize and close next month. Verizon will combine Yahoo Search, email, and Messenger assets, as well as advertising technology tools with its AOL unit and Verizon unit, which was bought last year for $4.4 billion for AOL to go to Verizon. Verizon's been looking to mobile video and advertising for new sources of revenue outside the oversaturated wireless market. The number one wireless operator, well, this is last year, I'm reading this article, is betting that it can take data on more than 200 million unique monthly visitors to Yahoo sites, many of them on mobile devices. Like I said, this was an article from last year talking about it, and I went through, and it looks like they are going to be closing the deal. Verizon's creepy because Verizon has been just engulfed with numerous issues with NSA as far as handing over information without even trying to put up a fight whatsoever. If you guys remember what came out in Vault Sec, the Vault issue with CIA, but also 4 years ago, back in June 2013, a lot of people don't remember, that's when the FISA warrant was issued, and the NSA basically was getting millions of U.S. customers of Verizon on a daily basis. The FISA warrant required Verizon on an ongoing daily basis to give the NSA information on all telephone calls and its systems, both in the U.S. and between the U.S. and other countries. The document showed for the first time that the Obama administration, the communication records of millions of U.S. citizens are being collected indiscriminately and in bulk, regardless of whether they're suspected of any wrongdoing. That FISA warrant was issued on April 25th and was good all the way till July 19th. So Verizon's been in this type of situation numerous times. So now that they're buying Yahoo, This is what we're seeing with acquisitions and mergers. We had a local internet company called Bright House down here get brought up by Spectrum. This is happening all over the place, all over the country, all over the globe. You have the base of it, which in my opinion, if you dig down deep enough, if you pull up enough rocks and enough sludge and enough crap, you're going to find the globalist Rothschilds or whoever else is beside them buying up a lot of this stuff so they can basically get everything together in enough acquisitions and mergers to essentially control the entire market, Dad. And that's what we've seen happening the last couple of years through all these mergers.
Of course, the central banks that are Rothschild controlled that are buying up everybody. I mean, Jero Salente said this last year on our show. He said that basically the only growth we've had in the stock market is because of acquisitions and mergers. And that's exactly what's happening. We're seeing it over and over and over again because they want to own everything. It's like, you know, there was a book that was written years ago by Robert Ringer. It came out in a second edition, which wasn't as good, and then it was republished, which wasn't as good. So if you get the book, get the original copies from like 1970, 75, something like that. And the title of the book was absolutely awful. And the name of the book was Winning Through Intimidation, and it was about selling real estate. And the guy had some really good points about selling real estate if you're interested in that, but then he talked about the different types of personalities. And he kind of summarized who people are and what they are and what they believe. And he said there are some people out there, they want all the marbles. They want your marbles, they want their marbles, they want everybody's marbles. They want everything because they're greedy. That's the Rothschilds. They're playing with the money they create out of nothing to buy up tangible assets because they want to control the entire planet and control everything. And now we've got Trump running over to Saudi, sending them $100 billion worth of defense contracts, saying it's going to create jobs in the United States. Then Robert Steele put on his report on his website, and the site's down right now, that basically Jared Kushner was over with Trump in Saudi trying to set up a huge deal with them to get more and more armament into Saudi to make them a nuclear power. Now, whether this is true or not, I have no idea. I have no way to vet this. And that they're going to be the ones that they're going to use to attack Iran. Now, whether this is true or not, I have absolutely no idea. So this whole thing's like a chessboard over in the Middle East. And the Kushners are right in the middle of all of this mess. And again, we called this out first on our show back in February before anybody else started talking about Jared Kushner. And of course, there's still a giant hush-hush in the mainstream media. Nobody wants to talk about Kushner or what he's involved in. But now I had a lot of people comment on the show on Friday night I did with the Hagmans. And a lot of people have asked me to cover the allergy information over again on our show today. And I'm going to do that because I think it's very, very important. If you'd like to hear the whole show with Hagman, you can listen to it in detail. We also talked about why the globalists and how the globalists extract energy from children during their sacrifices. I don't want to talk about that again. You can listen to the Hagman Show and get the information on that if you'd like. Plus, we covered the allergies, which I'm going to do right now. But years ago, Austin, if you remember, when you were at a, I think it was a wedding. I think one of the Goddards had gotten married, and you had some red punch. And I remember you got unbelievably sick from the red punch. You had a bad reaction to it. It took you 6 months to stop coughing from it. You were like 4, 5, or 6 years old. Years later, at the same church, no less, Savannah was there, and she was basically one of those fall festivals, and she ate some dye in a cupcake. Got unbelievably sick. The next day she woke up and she had hives all over her body. Her throat started swelling shut. And I started realizing that, you know, over the years, that I started seeing that more and more children are having more and more reactions to poisons in the food supply, which seemed strange to me. So I started doing some research on this. And let me tell you how this all happened. Back in 1997 to 2002, we've had double the peanut allergy in the United States. 1 in 17 children right now have some type of food allergy. We've had a 265% increase in hospitalizations to ERs for allergies. And the body's starting to see food protein as a foreign invader. And the reason this has happened is in the 1990s, new proteins were engineered into our food supply to maximize profitability for manufacturers, i.e. Monsanto. No human trials were done. This is what's interesting about this. No human trials were done. I'll tell you why and how they got away with that in just a moment. Milk allergies in 1994 went off the charts when Monsanto started putting bovine growth hormone into the pack cows to produce more milk. We had dozens of governments around the world said, no, we won't have bovine growth hormone put into the milk. But the USA said, it's never been proven dangerous, so it's no big deal. So they allowed us to put bovine growth hormone. And Monsanto intentionally went out and started intimidating media outlets which spoke out against bovine growth hormone, including Fox News back in the 90s, Jen known as it was Channel 13, and they had a show called The Investigators, and they did an entire show on Monsanto and bovine growth hormone and how toxic and bad it was. Now, so many other countries said no, and they were told they could not release the information or air the show or Monsanto would sue them. Now, this happened back in the 90s. It's the same station that I was on back in the 90s, right, with Kathy Fountain that I did the top 10 foods never to eat on, and they had the huge, huge market share, 37% market share of Tampa Bay, and they asked me to come back on 6 months later, but Monsanto had contacted them and said I could not mention aspartame or diet sodas again, or again, they would pull revenue from the station. This is the kind of power they use, and I've seen it repeatedly over the years. But now think about this. So mothers back in 1994 who didn't know to eat organic, how many sippy cups of milk did they give their children? How many bowls of cereal did they give their children? How many glasses of milk did their children drink or their husbands drink or whatever, all loaded with both bovine growth hormone, which also feminizes boys because it's a bovine female growth hormone. Also, we have massive increases in breast, prostate, and colon cancer because of this. The USA has the highest rates of cancer in the world. For instance, in Japan, if you move here to the United States, Japan has a very low cancer rate. It goes through the roof after they move here because of the environmental factors that are associating it. 1 in 2 men get cancer currently. 1 in 3 women get cancer. 1 in 8 women get breast cancer. Now listen to this. 90% of these women who get breast cancer are environmentally triggered by some exogenous estrogen in the environment or some other type of toxin in the environment. Now remember, you can really mitigate this by taking potassium iodide, 12.5 milligrams every single day, along with vitamin C every day, along with D3K2 every single day, and avoiding things like bovine growth hormone, avoiding soy products, avoiding coffee. Those are the things, if you're a woman, that you want to massively reduce your risks of breast cancer that you do. Now, soy was the next thing they started engineering. In 1996, they had to figure out how to make soy withstand Roundup because soy was getting so many weeds in the crops, it was interfering with the combines during harvest. So they had to make a product they could really soak down with Roundup and kill the weeds and still make it so it would harvest okay and increase crop yield. So in 1996, because remember, soy oil is in almost every single processed food. Very important that you don't get any of that in your body. But now it's been soaked in Roundup. So they decided to put this foreign protein in this soy, and they decided to sell the seed, and then they also sell the seed and the weed killer. Remember, Monsanto did all of this. And the governments around the world said, absolutely no, we will not take your growth modified soy with this foreign protein, which is going to cause all these allergies into our food supply. And of course, the United States said, okay, we'll take that. Next to come was corn. In the late 1990s, we basically had to have spray that would again kill the weeds and also kill the pesticides. Well, the people were getting upset in the United States because corn was being soaked with so many pesticides. So Monsanto, again, they decided to engineer an insecticide directly into the corn, into the DNA, so they could grow the corn with an insecticide, which would automatically grow by itself. Now, this is interesting because now when the flies or the bugs or the worms eat the corn, they die, including, by the way, the honeybees. This is what happened. The EPA now regulates corn as an insecticide because it is grown as an insecticide, it is labeled as an insecticide, and is fed to us as an insecticide. And now we've had massive problems with people with corn allergies. Just the other day, we went to a dinner with a friend of ours who's a cardiologist. Nice guy. He's also a pilot. He's got some really cool stories. In fact, he crash landed a jet just a few weeks ago at the Sarasota International Airport and did it with only one of his gears down on his left wing was gone. And he's landed the plane completely successful. Didn't even damage the plane. Was able to be restored back to flight. And it was interesting because we went to dinner with him and he ordered some corn, some creamed corn. And I just looked at him, didn't say anything. And basically afterwards, he said, well, do you want some of this corn? I said, no, I don't eat that. And I said, why? I said, because I'm not going to eat a pesticide unless it's organic. And I asked, is this corn organic? And they said, absolutely not. It is not organic. So that's what happened with corn. All of this approval was done because of tobacco. Now you say, how in the world can it be done because of tobacco? Here's why. Because tobacco basically got passed through Congress that they could sell products that were poisonous to the American people, and it was okay because of the substantial equivalence to facilitate the approval process with no human trials. That's the term they used to do this, the substantial equivalent to facilitate the process of selling these products to us with no human trials, because basically what they said is, you're poisoning everybody with tobacco, you set a precedent. Therefore, we can poison everybody with soy. We can poison everybody with corn. We can poison everybody with glyphosate. And you can't say anything because you've said it's okay to poison everybody with tobacco. And that's the reason this crap, that's what they did, Austin. That's the term they used. That's the reason that they were allowed to do this. Now we have milk, eggs, soy, peanuts, and wheat that are all being paid with taxpayer funds and being used to grow GMO portions of this, these are all allergens now, with the glyphosate. If they're not being GMO processed, they're using glyphosate. And now we have these massive allergies to all of these things because we're poisoning the population. Now, the organic farmers, they have to prove that they're organic or they're not allowed to sell their products with an organic label. Now, the GMO products, they don't even have to prove they're safe. They can poison you under this equivalent law, and that's okay. But they have all of these regulations for the organic farmers, like the one guy who had the problems with these thistles in his crops over there in Oregon. Now they're going to go spray the entire property with Roundup and not allow him to be, quote-unquote, an organic farmer anymore. So what they've done is they've made it literally impossible with no government subsidies for organic farming, but they give hundreds of millions, in fact, billions of dollars a year to farm subsidies to allow them to grow product without even being tested on human beings. Years ago, I was traveling. This was back, oh gosh, this was 34 years ago. I was in Hawaii. And gosh, I was there for a business conference. And I was laying by the swimming pool. And there was a guy laying out by the pool, and he was bedazzled. I mean, he was covered in jewelry. I mean, this is back in the 80s, and everybody wore all these gold necklaces and all this other stuff, and gold rings and gold this and gold that. And I mean, this guy was like ordering room service, ordering meals at the pool. I mean, he was there. So finally I asked him, I said, because I was curious. I was a young guy, I was in my 20s, and I want to know where this guy was coming up with all this money to do all of this stuff, because I'm kind of curious how these guys are able to afford all of this. And finally, after a couple of days of seeing him doing this, I went over there, I started talking to him, and I said to him, I said, dude, I said, I got to ask you a question. I said, how long are you in Hawaii? He goes, I'm in Hawaii for 4 months. And he goes, really? He goes, yeah, that's what he said, 4 months. And I said, are you in this hotel for 4 months? He goes, yeah, I'm in the hotel for 4 months. And I said, well, okay. I said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a dairy farmer. And he goes, I have a huge dairy farm up in Wisconsin. And I said, okay, well, that's nice. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, how many cows do you have? He goes, well, I've got 1,500 acres. And I said, well, that's great. I said, I'm happy about the acres. I said, but how many cows do you have and how much milk are you producing? He goes, I don't have any cows. I said, what do you mean you don't have any cows? He said, I have zero cows. And I said, okay. I don't understand. How do you have this lifestyle? How can you be in Hawaii for 4 months? He goes, well, the weather's cold in Hawaii, in Wisconsin. I don't like it up there in the wintertime, and I'd just rather be in Hawaii. And I said, okay, let me ask you another question. How are you paying for this? Where are you getting the money? And I was pretty aggressive when I was 20 years old, in my 20s. And the guy looked at me kind of funny. He goes, oh, well, the government pays me millions of dollars a year to not to grow cattle. Because there's a big glut of milk on the market, so they pay me all of this money every single year based on how many acres of farmland that I'm running. So I have zero cows with a big farm, and I get paid all of this money in government subsidies every year. And he looked at me and he goes, thank you. And I'm like, thank you? He goes, well, you're the taxpayers. The taxpayers are paying me not to raise milk, and so I get to spend 4 months of the year out of Wisconsin in Hawaii at this hotel. And I'm like, I'm still young, right? I'm still naive. This guy's in his 40s, 50s. I just got out of college a few years earlier than that. I'm thinking to myself, this is messed up. How in the world can this happen that we're getting all of this stuff that's being paid to this guy? And then we find out that the government was giving milk away, giving cheese away, dumping it, doing whatever they could with it because they had a surplus of it. This is what they do. Plus, remember, the fees that farmers have to pay to grow non-GMO products. They're charged fees to be labeled as organic. Kraft, listen to this. Here's what's interesting. Kraft and Coca-Cola both don't use their GMO ingredients in foods distributed to other countries which ban GMOs. I'm going to repeat this. Kraft and Coca-Cola both don't use their GMO ingredients in foods that are distributed to other countries which ban GMO products. This is nuts, but this is what they do. But remember, the USA healthcare, the USA's healthcare is 16% of our GDP due to all of this poison that we're putting into our systems. And we talked about this last week. There are certain things that you need to realize that you need to avoid: the foods, the vaccines, the GMOs, the music, all of this kind of stuff with your kids if you want to keep them healthy. But this is why, because of this introduction of these foreign proteins into the food supply, that we have so many kids with peanut allergies, etc. Now, to add insult to injury, not only are they giving us this GMO food via the grocery store shelves, they're also injecting soybean oil with vaccines, corn oil with vaccines, All of this stuff, in many cases, is being injected into children as part of their vaccine, you know, requirement for school, and causing additional allergies in these children. This is what's caused so many of these kids to have so many health problems, so many problems with attention deficit disorder and learning disabilities, and I personally believe all kinds of other health issues in their lives with autoimmune disorders, Austin, because of this junk and this poison that we're feeding these children on an ongoing basis, brought to you by the Satan of all companies, Monsanto. This is what's doing this. And remember, this is a Rothschild-owned thing. And remember, Bayer just bought Monsanto, facilitated, brought to you by the Rothschild Group, which is now basically one of those things we all know is true. So this is some crazy stuff. So you sit here and you kind of go back and you kind of scratch your head and you go, wow, that's almost hard to believe because this is so far out there from the realm of reality. Who in the world would believe all of this crap? It's all true. This is why so many people are so sick. This is why so many people are having so many health problems in the United States. And that doesn't even include all of the other stuff like the fluoride that they're putting into the food supply via the water supply and our toothpaste, by the way. So we have to understand, guys, if you want to be healthy, it's not that difficult. There's just a few things you've got to do and a few things you've got to eliminate immediately, like fluoride. Last night we were at a hotel over in Atlanta. We drove over and had a free hotel room, and they brought us up some hot herbal tea. It came with the room. And I asked the guy, I said, are you using bottled water or are you using tap water? He goes, well, I really don't know. And I said, well, can you find out for me? He goes, well, sure. And so we sat there and we drank our tea. It was really good. It was like a chamomile tea to go to sleep with or whatever. And I thought, this is interesting. He calls back and, oh, by the way, before he left the room, he got my entire lecture on Nazi concentration camps and fluoride. And if you guys haven't had that yet, that's when the Nazi concentration camps found out that you can make their inmates servile and infertile by giving them fluoride, which kept all the rebellious Jews and Christians and Germans who were against Hitler, basically these unruly people, it made them all ruly and kept them working in the factories producing armaments for the Nazi war effort, basically content because they didn't have a sex drive anymore. They didn't have any reason to rebel anymore. They weren't having children anymore, and they became like drones. And remember, Harvard said a couple of years ago that giving a child fluoride in its water and its toothpaste and in its formula would reduce the IQ score by up to 20 points. Well, you say, well, that's not that much. Oh, I beg to differ. IQ is based on a logarithmic scale. So when it goes down a point, it goes down a bunch. When it goes down 10 points, it goes down a whole bunch. When it goes down 20 points, it goes down a ridiculous amount. It's like taking a person whose average intelligence of 110 IQ, giving them fluoride, now they're 90, they're under 100. No, they're not as bright as they should be. That's what fluoride does. So I explained all of this to this guy who brought the tea to the room, and then he calls me back about 10 minutes later, and he goes, don't drink the tea, it's tap water, it's got fluoride in it. Of course, by that time, the tea was already gone, and I thought to myself, how interesting. Next time I'll make sure they use some type of bottled water, or I'll give them a gallon of my distilled water out of my vehicle and tell them to make the tea with that. And here's why, because guys, listen to me for a second. A little bit every once in a while like that's not going to cause a major effect on your brain, but it's the constant dripping of the fluoride into your bloodstream through the water, through the toothpaste, all of these things that can cause massive problems with cognition and neurological development in children and reduced IQ scores and massive problems with things like Alzheimer's disease, especially when you throw aluminum into the formula. So guys, that was part of my show I did on Hagmann on Friday night. You have to hear the rest of it on the show. It went really well. I really want to thank you guys for so many of you already heard me talk about this stuff on Friday night. I want to thank you for listening to that show and listening to our show every single day. And I highly suggest that this is one of those shows you mark, because this is the one you can give to your friends and you can say, oh, by the way, your kid's got allergies. Why don't you listen to this show and maybe you'll understand what the heck they did to our food and how they justified it, because tobacco's already poisoning us and causing cancer, so it's okay to keep on poisoning us, Austin. What do you think?
Man, great synopsis. Well, the whole aspect that's very odd about that is that tobacco products are not required to live. Food essentially is required to stay alive to an extent. You don't have to have tobacco in any type of form or concentration to survive, but they're using that as an excuse now to grow these GMO foods. Speaking of the milk, you know, we've seen the boom in sales of raw milk and other organic raw dairy products go through the roof in the last 10 years, and now we're seeing the CDC through various outlets really push against the raw milk companies. I mean, it's an all-on onslaught right now. There's another article that just got released earlier that I saw on the UK Daily Mail, and it alleges that raw milk carries more harmful bacteria than its pasteurized counterparts, and you're therefore 840 times more likely to get more foodborne illness than you are with pasteurized milk. Now, thousands of people have therefore put themselves at risk of severe food poisoning, they sternly warn. They go on to state that the U.S. study recently found that around 700 people get sick every year from eating raw dairy products, which results in 22 hospitalizations out of the entire United States.
That's not
okay.
Hard.
So then you got to look at the numbers here for a second. Okay, just look at a few numbers here. Over it, just look at it, the 10-year spread now of just a average from 1998 to 2008. This is the CDC's same source if you go on their website. I've been on their website a lot lately. Don't really like to go on their website, but they kind of contradict themselves a lot. Okay. In that 10-year period, poultry has killed 2,780 people from some type of poultry sickness from a USDA-approved poultry source. Pork has killed 820 people over a 10-year span. Fish, raw fish, has killed 710 people over that 10-year span. These are deaths. These are dead. You go in the ground, you're dead. You're not coming back. Raw milk deaths in a 10-year period has officially been zero, according to the CDC. Not a single person has been linked to dying from raw milk in 10 years, period. That's it. None. Zero. This is a big, big goose egg. Nothing. So what they're trying to do here is scare people by throwing out these numbers saying 750 people get sick a year out of 320 million people in the United States. Do you understand how many people get sick each year just from not washing their hands? Okay, so what they're doing here, and the thing about it is, if you even want to completely rule out these risks with raw milk, make sure to a large extent you're only purchasing these products from a legitimate organic dairy farm with cows that have not had their immune systems compromised by antibiotics or growth hormones like Dad just talked about, and where the animals have been housed in, you know, sanitary, humane conditions. Use those type of farms. There's so many of them now. The main reason why the CDC doesn't want people drinking raw milk is because it is so stinking healthy for you, and it doesn't cause any allergens at all. It doesn't have all these growth hormones in it. It doesn't have all these antibiotics in it. It's not pasteurized. It's not homogenized. You want to realize how quickly milk is bad for you. Go look at the pasteurization process and do some research on it. We have it on our website. I've talked about it numerous times. The deadly effects of pasteurized cow's milk, and it completely kills off the enzymes that break down lactose. So your body can't digest the lactose from the milk. Can't do it. There's no digestive enzymes in the milk anymore. It's all dead. It essentially makes the milk like 98% dead. When you homogenize it, it completely kills off the rest of the milk. So it's a dead drink. It's dead. There's nothing left to it. But this is what they do, and it's what Dad said. They've completely compromised the food supply from every single source, whether it be raw milk and trying to scare the population and raiding. I mean, you guys have seen the videos on YouTube, them raiding that milk farm out in California, pistols out, body armor on. You know, little women are in the corner with their hands up going, please, please don't shoot me. You can seize our milk if you have to. They're running in there all armored out like they're going to hit some type of MS-13 gang with 15 law enforcement officers come in there, swatted out, and I'm looking at the video going, and they're doing this because there's milk in the freezer. Well, all right, yeah. I don't understand that, but I guess that's what happens in a totalitarian police state when the government has overreaching rule to control what you can and can't eat. It's kind of funny because the same concept, when you look at the fact that I talked about this on the show on Friday, almost every single scheduled one incredibly dangerous drug that's on the street, whether it be methamphetamine, whether it be heroin, whether it be cocaine, any of those, there is almost a completely identical pharmaceutical counterpart that you can get at almost any single doctor's office for any reason you can really come up with a prescription. So it's not that they don't want you to have these scheduled one drugs that you go to prison for 10, 20 years just for possessing. It's that they want you to only be able to buy it from them via pharmaceutical sales, via doctor prescription. That way they can control it, that way they can tax it, and that way they can make hundreds of billions of dollars off of it much easier, and at the same time turn the other Scheduled One drugs that are street drugs and feed the prison industrial complex by making them 10 to 20 year mandatory charges for having a small amount of meth or cocaine. Not that I'm advocating those drugs at all. I think they're horrific, but you see the game that the government has figured out how to play now with the food from Monsanto and how, oh, tobacco is harmful. Let it on the market, though. So we can go ahead and completely alter the DNA of these seeds, feed them to you, even though it could be harmful. Doesn't matter, under the guise of the tobacco one. I didn't know that. That's he brought that up today. That's really, really wild. They got away with it under that auspice like that.
Well, the same thing with the chemtrails. People don't realize what happened with the chemtrails, why the chemtrails are okay. See, this, the government has sprayed us with all of this crap for years and years. They've done over 200 biochemical experiments on the people in the United States, testing drugs, not drugs, testing bacteria and things on them on an ongoing basis. Now, you think, well, they really can't do that. Well, they really have done that. In fact, back in the early 70s, they actually sprayed San Francisco with a bacteria and caused a death, and a bunch of people got sick. Well, one of the guys, the guy who died, his son was an attorney, and he sued the government. He sued the government. And what was interesting is on May the 20th, 1981, Judge Conte handed down the verdict, and it was on the government side and against the guy who died. And here's basically what he said. Listen to this. This gives them the right to spray chemtrails on you, okay? Because it's an experiment. It's not a rolled out policy. The Army has been entitled to spray the population without consent under the, here it is, this is it right here, the discretionary function exception in the Federal Tort Claims Act. This is what he did. That was the reason he was given, because it has set a precedent. I'm going to read it. It's the reason for it is the discretionary function exemption in the Federal Tort Claims Act. So what that means basically is they can do whatever the heck they want to do as long as they're calling it an experiment, and there's nothing you can do about it. They can spray you with syphilis, which they've done, and then a few years later they spray Tampa Bay. You know, well, this is crazy. They sprayed Tampa Bay with whooping cough to see how many people would die, just to see if it could be used as a biological agent in warfare. They actually tested it on Tampa Bay. This is what they do. Now they're announcing they're going to now spray a new type of bacterium over Tucson, and that we're all living basically in a petri dish, and they'll do what they darn sure want to do, whatever they want to do it. This is crazy, but Judge Conte's verdict that was handed down on May the 20th, 1981, allowed them, through the discretionary function exemption in the Federal Tort Claims Act, to do what they do with the chemtrails. Then this guy also, after he lost that case, he appealed it to the U.S. Appeal Court and lost. Then he had enough of that, so he appealed it to the Supreme Court and had a similar response. So, guys, this is why they spray us. This is why they do what they do, because they had legal precedents in the court systems not to have their sorry butts thrown in jail for poisoning us, because it's okay. Big tobacco poisoned us. It's okay. And the government has been spraying us for a long, long time, so they have the right to experiment on their own population, because we proved that with Conte back in 1981. So onward and upward, we get all of this stuff happening to us as the population of the country, Austin, and there's absolutely nothing from a legal standpoint we can do except throw these stinking lowlife out of Congress until they change these laws, because Congress can change those laws. They can make it stop. The problem is the deep state controls Congress through their basically blackmail of the Congress. The deep state controls all of this stuff, so all we end up with is a situation in which everybody's in a situation where everybody stays sick all the time because everybody's being sprayed with poison all the time. Nobody wants to take supplements unless they're educated about supplements, and everybody decides to go ahead and get vaccinated, and everybody puts a fluoride IV in their arm with the water, continues to drink that, and they're all wondering why they feel so bad and their brains don't work anymore. That's the problem that we've got in the United States. That's why we've dumbed the population down. We've made them servile and infertile, and we've made a bunch of sheep out of the once real men. I mean, real men. The United States used to be like Sparta in that movie 300. I mean, we were a bunch of macho boys back in the 1700s, 1800s. I mean, we were out here hacking our way through the wilderness. I mean, doing the deal. Not anymore. Now you got a bunch of little boys. They got to play with Play-Doh and have the Peppies to play with when they're doing finals in school because they're so sissified because of the hormones in the food supply, son.
You're absolutely right, man. you completely nailed it here. This is another article. This is pretty crazy from what happened with our U.S. Embassy over in Belgium now. A grant from the U.S. Embassy in Belgium is now designating almost $250,000 for a group to promote positive narratives about refugees and immigrants in Europe.
That's right.
Now, almost $250,000. Now, you know, under the, you know, U.S. bloated budget, that doesn't seem like that much money. But when you really think about that, you know, $250,000, I mean, that's a lot more than most people make in a couple years put together. And they're giving this away now to basically promote positive narratives about refugees. It's for non-government or non-profit groups that have to achieve at least one or more of the grant objectives and provide positive narratives concerning refugees and immigration populations. Other objectives consist of outreach to at-risk youth and communities and providing alternatives to ordinary citizens that could have recruitment into violent extremism. How about you just not let them in the country? That prevents them from acting any violent way towards you. That's another note. Belgium is one of the many countries that President Trump has yet to appoint a new ambassador to serve in. It goes on here in one of the articles is discussing it. When they released it, they said, our office seeks to promote positive narratives and tolerant perspectives, as well as directly dispel violent extremist messaging and enhance and amplify community-based resiliency efforts focused on women and youth, a document describing the project says. Well, the first thing is, I want to know where they're going to find the women and youth refugees of that. I guess there's plenty of 25-year-old male child youth refugees there. I don't know anybody. Any young children or any women, haven't seen any of those in any photos in Europe, but I guess, you know, another reason to drop, you know, $200,000 in grants for no reason whatsoever. this is what it is.
Oh, by the way, interesting story here. This is something that I've been talking about for years and years and years, and it's by a researcher, and it says that negative thoughts harm your health by damaging your DNA. And this is an article by McCarthy. It says, lose your temper on the road, frustrated with colleagues at work, you may be cutting your life short, warns molecular biologist Elizabeth Blackburn, who won the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 2009, and health psychologist Alyssa Eppel, who studies stress and aging. The authors claim in their new book, The Telomere Effect, that negative thoughts harm your health at the DNA level. Research has shown that a person's social relationships, environments, and lifestyles affect their genes. Even though you were born with a particular set of genes, the way you live can influence how they express themselves. By the way, that's called epigenetics. Blackburn and Eppel say components of DNA called telomeres determine how fast your cells age, and that shortening and shortening your telomeres is one of the major reasons that human cells grow old, but lab tests have shown that they can also grow longer. In other words, aging could possibly be accelerated or slowed down, and in some respects even reversed, based on telomere length. Now, the telomere shortening mechanism, which limits the cells to a fixed number of divisions during a cell replication, the telomere functions by ensuing the cell's chromosomes do not fuse with each other or rearrange, which can lead to cancer. Blackburn likened telomeres to the ends of shoelaces, without which the lace would unravel. Now, what's interesting about this is, they're talking about negative thoughts and negative associations can make you age very quickly. Now, I'm going to stop for just a second on this because I'm going to step away from the telomere. I'm going to break it down a little bit more deeper, a little deeper than this, and so you guys will make some sense out of this. Here's what happens when you guys get into an argument or you get on the road. Like today, I'm driving down the road, right? And you'll love this, Austin. I'm driving down the road in the pickup truck. Some lady pulls out in front of me, and it could have been a guy, but it was a lady, and I got to slam the brake on the doggone pickup truck. When I slammed the brake on the pickup truck, I got a whole, like, 2 gallons of diesel fluid in the back of my truck, which slams into the back of the bed, which ruptures the bottle. So I get 2 gallons of this stuff spraying all over the back of the bed. It leaves like a white residue and everything. I cannot believe it. And this lady basically was just pulled out in front of the traffic, almost caused an accident. I had to lock the brakes up on the truck, and I thought, and I mean, I'm doing 70 miles an hour on the highway. And what was interesting about all of this is, she didn't care. She was unaffected. I beat the horn at her when I drove by her, but that was it. But that's all I did. I didn't say anything to her or whatever. I said, like, you know, wake up. You got to do better than this. But If I would have allowed myself to have gotten super angry, which I used to do when I was a kid, I used to do that. I mean, when I was 18, 19, 20, 25, 30 years old, I used to get all mad. Well, what I learned is this. When you get angry, your body goes into what's called a flight or fight syndrome, which means that your body thinks you're being charged by a tiger or a lion or a bear, and that you've got to go climb a tree, or you're going to have to get a knife out if you don't have a gun, and you're going to start fighting whatever's attacking you. It's called a flight or fight syndrome. When that happens, and you're under the stress of this, what ends up happening is your body stops producing hydrochloric acid for your stomach. And your body basically goes into this shutdown mode because it's preparing itself for battle or to run, one of the two. And so it shunts all the money from the digestive system into the legs and the extremities so you can run really, really fast to get more glucose to the muscles. When that happens, it shuts down the digestion process. When that happens, you no longer digest your food properly. That's why sometimes when you get mad about something in the middle of a meal, or the kids are a bunch of brats and they're at the table with you and they say something to get you hacked off and you're trying to eat, you'll get a knot in your stomach. And you go, wow, this is awful. Or you have a Christmas vacation or Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner, and you get a bunch of relatives that you don't like, that you wonder why you invited to the house, who you don't wish, well, you wish had never been there, and they say something that hacks you off, and you get all knot in your stomach, and you're thinking to myself, God, why did I invite this person? Because always remember, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. And we all have that one person in our life, that one relative, at least most of us do, who you kind of wish wasn't a relative. So that's just how that works. But the reality is this. When you do this long enough, and you're, let's say you're in traffic all the time and so you're always stressed out, or you're in a bad relationship and you're always in a fight with your spouse or your next, or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, what ends up happening is your body stays in this constant state of stress. Now, it can be the other way too. It doesn't have to be somebody you're having a fight with. You could have a job that you don't like. You could have a job that has specific deadlines that you have to meet that causes the same stress. Because your body puts the same demands under the body when it's under stress, whether they're a life-threatening demand or not. It doesn't make any difference. You could have a athletic competition that you're preparing for and you're stressing out over that. It does the same thing. You could have a final that you're studying for in college. It does the same thing. You have a project that's got a deadline. It does the same thing. It all decreases hydrochloric acid production, and it all decreases the body's ability. Here it comes to digest vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, selenium, all of the antioxidants. And when that happens, your body goes into a mode of, I don't have enough nutrients to prevent disease. And you end up with cancer. You end up with heart disease. You end up with diabetes. You end up with crippling, debilitating arthritis. This is why so many people, they get angry at that person who came over for lunch for Christmas or for Thanksgiving, and they get mad at that relative, and they get this big fight with that person. And pick your name of your person that you know. It doesn't have to be a relative. It could be someone you've known for years and you get into an argument with, and that's it. You go, I'll never talk to that person again. And you're bitter about that person. You're angry about that person, and you stay that way. So every time that person's name comes up, you're blah, 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 blah. You start cussing, or you start yelling, or whatever happens. Every single time you do that, you age your body faster. You make your body get sicker. You make your body have stress, and it causes your body to break down and to become ill. So they're at home, the person you're mad at, or they may be even dead. They could have died 10 years ago, and you're still pissed off at them because of what they did at Christmas one time. You're still talking bad about them, but they're dead for 20 years. I was with my brother. I got a half-brother up in Iowa, and about, oh gosh, 6-8 years ago, we were at a wedding together. And he starts in on our father, because my father divorced his mom, married my mom, because it was second marriage. And he starts in on my dad. And I looked at him and I said, Dad's been dead since 1984. He's been dead for over 30, almost 40 years. I said, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're going to start on Dad. You're still angry about what Dad did back in the early 50s? You know, 50 years ago? Are you joking me? I said, what is wrong with you? See, this is the kind of people that I'm talking about. Those are the people that brighten up a room by leaving it, because all they want to do is complain and be negative about everything. Those people don't even realize that the very thing that they're doing to themselves and the things that they're saying about those other people are causing them to age very quickly and have all types of health problems, which he has had a massive amount of health problems. You see a lady on the front porch of her church, of her home in a rocking chair, and she's all crippled with arthritis, and you walk up to her, you start talking to her, and she starts screaming about something that happened to her 40 years ago, how much she hates somebody. That's why she's in the situation she's in. That's why her body has been completely destroyed, because of her attitude towards those other people. Guys, it's not okay. As Christians, if you're listening to this show today and you're a Christian, God said that we're to forgive one another. And it doesn't matter if you want to forgive somebody or not. The other day I sent an email to somebody who's incredibly angry because of a business relationship she was in with this one guy who did her wrong. He most certainly did her wrong. And so she started sent me this giant three paragraphs of all the things this guy had done to her. Now she's already told me this multiple times of what this guy's done. I was already aware of it. Here's what I said to her. This is my advice to her. I said, ask God to forgive him for what he did to you and ask God to bless him. And silence, crickets, nothing came back from her. Didn't even respond to the email. Here's why. It's part of that whole thing with how the universe works. The universe is laid out like a figure eight. And what happens is with a black hole in the middle of it. And it's kind of like this. When you pray for somebody that has used you or despitefully used you, like the Bible says, and they don't receive it, that blessing comes back upon you. Not because that's the reason you're doing that, but because it's going to go back to somebody. And it's like this. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You're going to walk in forgiveness and love. You're going to realize that person's got an issue and you need to stay away from them. You got that figured out already, but you're also going to realize that you're not going to allow that person to affect you in a negative way for the rest of your life because of the way you feel towards them. Very important, please, people, that you listen to this because you guys are my friends, okay? You're like my family on this radio show. So if you've got somebody that's really done you wrong, I don't care if it's about money, or he went after a girlfriend or a wife or whatever, it doesn't make a bit of difference, okay? You've got to say, I forgive you for what you've done. You can even write them a note. Say, I forgive you for what you've done. I pray that God blesses you richly. That's it. You go, I don't want to do that. Well, you don't have to do that. I'm just telling you if you want to release this stuff and turn it loose. That's all you got to do. Now, I'm not telling you to become a bosom buddy with them again. I'm not even saying that you should ever even talk to them again. I'm saying you should pray about it and let God take care of it. Let him sort it out. Why in the world should you be up and stressed every day? Who by worrying is going to add a single moment to their life is what the Bible says. And guys, this is what we have to understand. If we walk in love and we walk in forgiveness all the days of our life, it will go well with you. You'll be blessed. I mean, listen, think about this. You got somebody who did you wrong 20 years ago, and somebody brings his name up, and you start fussing about this guy. That guy may be dead already, or he may be sleeping at home with the covers pulled over his head, has no idea you're even talking about him. Who's it hurting, you or him? You can't allow yourself to do that. You've got to walk in forgiveness, and you've got to walk in love. And again, if these people don't want to respond the same way back to you, that's okay. It doesn't make any difference. You've done your part as a Christian or as a human being to allow yourself to be set free of this person and not to allow them to affect you in a negative way any longer. And you can say if somebody's died, you say, hey, may he rest in peace, God bless him, or whatever. But don't allow a personal relationship to affect you in a negative way the rest of your life. Because, guys, it's simply not worth it. I've seen so many cases of heart disease, diabetes, cancer, arthritis that have been precipitated because of bitterness and anger. You've got to learn to walk in love and forgiveness. Okay, that's my little preaching today, Austin. What do you think about all that?
Well, that was excellent. And I want you to address something to this because it ties right in with what you're saying. Because I get a lot of people that argue with me about this with heavy usage of stimulants, primarily caffeine, pre-workouts, those sort of things, and high dosages on a regular basis, how they tie in exactly what you were just saying with increasing stress in the body. And that's why when you talk to doctors that are natural, the biggest thing they always say is that you can't have caffeine, alcohol, or sugar when you're trying to fight off cancer. And for some reason, a lot of people don't understand how aggressive caffeine is on the body, especially when it's using in high dosage on a regular basis. I talked about that kid that died last week because he drank too many sport drinks or energy drinks. A lot of people don't realize what this stuff does to your body when you use it on a regular basis in amounts like this all the time.
What it does, it causes what's called adrenal exhaustion. That's what it does. Your adrenal glands are right above your kidneys. I mean, the part of the kidney section, it's right attached right there in the back. That's why if you ever get a punch to the kidneys, hit those adrenals, you'll go to the mat almost instantly. The reason the adrenals are what they are is because they allow your body to fight things off when it needs to fight things off. If your body's in this constant state of turmoil and stress, et cetera, and it tries to fight things off and it has no adrenal function left, it basically can't respond. The reason that so many of the drugs and the antibiotics and all the other things that people take on a regular basis work as well as they do is they really push and ramp up adrenal function. They really put a drain on the adrenal. So in other words, if you're burning a candle at both ends, if you turn a candle sideways and you light both ends of the wick, you're going to burn twice as bright, half as long. That's why you got to be so careful when you use adrenal stimulants and or antibiotics and or anything, because what happens, these drugs cause the adrenals to get kicked in really, really hard, and when that happens, it causes stress on the body, like I mentioned earlier. Whether stress is positive or not, you may be getting ready for a contest or a photo shoot or whatever you're getting ready for, or a big race or whatever. Just put your little title on it and you get all anxious about it and stressed out. Regardless of what the stressor is, whether it's positive or negative, it has the exact same effect on your body. When you use huge concentrations of caffeine, particularly, especially coffee, it causes massive adrenal exhaustion. That's why we've come up with formulas to help rebuild the adrenals. Now, it's okay every once in a while to have a cup of coffee. It's okay every once in a while to have, you know, something that you shouldn't have, you know, like a pre-workout drink. But what you don't want to do is stress your heart on a daily basis with that. Coffee is particularly bad because of the elevation of cortisol. I had one of my suppliers came to me a few years ago and they had this new product that they had developed. It was on green coffee bean extract. And they wanted us to see if we would test it and market it for them. And I said, I'm not going to do anything with coffee because it elevates cortisol. He said, well, this won't do that. I said, okay, fine. Why don't you send me a sample? I took it. I got all edgy, got all irritated, got all pissed off about everything. Sharon says, what in the world are you doing? You drink a cup of coffee? I said, no, I didn't. And you remember, you took it off, so I did the same thing to you. See, this is problem. This is the problem with coffee and coffee bean extract products. I won't use them because it elevates cortisol. That's why we use the purple sticks, because the purple sticks have green tea, which doesn't elevate cortisol. You still get 30, 40 milligrams of caffeine. It's a good type of caffeine. It doesn't cause you to age quickly. Plus, it's loaded with vitamins. So that's why I do that. Now, could you take too many purple sticks? Absolutely yes. If you were taking 10 or 12 purple sticks a day, you'd absolutely get way too much caffeine and your body would simply start to do the same thing it would on coffee. But the reality is that you've got to understand that your coffee needs to be completely eliminated or only drunk once or twice a month, if that. Green tea, you can have that every single day. Workout drinks, be really careful because they're massive adrenal draws. They really push your system down into a ditch really, really fast. I have a friend of mine right now. She works for a doctor's clinic over in Lakeland, and she lost like 100 pounds, and she did it on workout drinks and pushing herself with cardio, and she lost like 100 pounds. Now she's in a full state of adrenal exhaustion, and her body is completely like shut down. She's gaining the fat back. She's losing the muscle weight. She's unbelievably tired all the time, and she's sick now like 24/7. I mean, this is what happens when you burn that candle at both ends. You age twice as fast. So, guys, Austin's right. And I'm telling you again, I'm reemphasizing this. Don't use these pre-workout powders and drinks. We've got one called Muscle Blast. It works great. If you're only going to do one purple stick a day, mix it with the Muscle Blast and take it before your workout if that's what you want to do. But don't go get these drinks. Don't get these things like these what do you call them? These crazy what's that drink called, Austin? It has all that caffeine in it. The whatever it's called. You know, you guys know what it is.
There's the energy drinks, but you have a lot of the pre-workouts that they have. You know, with the old one was the Jack, where they put the one dimethylamine in it, which was basically FDA pulled that off the market because people started having heart attacks on it. All this stuff. I mean, the issue too is you got to understand, if you're training extremely hard, which if you're trying to build muscle, if you're trying to compete, if you're trying to do stuff other than in that aspect, you have to train very hard to really put on substantial amounts of muscle tissue once you get a certain size. So you're already training to extreme intensity. I've been there, so is Dad. So then you start adding in these pre-workouts to push yourself even further, and the problem is it lowers your immune system, it wrecks your adrenals, it puts significant amount of strain on your heart, and all that stuff catches up to you eventually. And I've seen people do it over the years, and like Dad said, I've seen this happen numerous times to people where they start on these pre-workouts, they start on these fat burners, they start on hydroxycut, all this super harsh fat burning compound stuff, and they'll lose weight, they'll lose fat, and they'll get in decent shape. And like Dad said, about 6 months to a year into it, they're completely and totally shut down. They have no energy. They can't focus. They're sucking down pre-workouts, coffee, hydroxycut all day long. They're hitting caffeine just to try and stay awake and make it through work and get home so they can fall back asleep. And eventually, guys, you got to come off the ride. eventually you reach a certain point in time where you have to come off. And that's a rough place for a lot of people, especially if you've been on stimulants for that long. Because almost everybody I know, when they use stimulants that heavy, they always get extreme withdrawals, which is usually fatigue, exhaustion, extremely bad headaches, lethargic, all types of things that are really not healthy for the body. And that's because the body is going through detox withdrawals from a compound that it's completely addicted to, which is caffeine in high amounts. So that's why I wanted Dad to bring that up, because that way everybody knows that I have the same take on him as that. I already told you what I did last year and a lot of the things leading to the pericarditis. Caffeine is something that needs used in moderation as a tool, not as a crutch on a daily basis to try and get through the day.
I couldn't have said any better. By the way, guys, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. I mean, I feel good. I mean, we had the weekend off, and I mean, I've got a lot of energy today. I feel great. So I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed this whole broadcast, and I want to thank you for listening to the show, and I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us, and your B-complex, and your vitamin D, and all the stuff that we have, and all the great products that we manufacture. I want to thank you for being our friends and listening to us. We're kind of like that preacher teacher that you kind of support by buying supplements from, that you kind of like to listen to every once in a while. That'd kind of be us, because we want to be here for you, because we consider you guys to be family. I mean, I really mean that with all of my heart, and that's why so many of you have dropped by the office when you've come to Florida, and we've said hi, or we've taken the time off and spent hours with some of you guys. And so I want to thank you. I want to thank you. If you were up here with us right now up in North Georgia at this campground, and you were sitting around the fire with me, this is the exact same way I would act. I'm always the same. You can ask Austin. I'm like the most consistent person. I remember, Austin, one time when you were going through puberty, you were like 16 or 17 years old. You said, "Dad, you've changed." And I said, "No, son, I haven't changed. You're finding out what testosterone is, and you've changed right now." And I said, "I'm always consistent. I'm always the same." So, guys, thank you. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. And I want you to know something. I just think the world of you. Let me pray for you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for my listeners today. I pray that you bless them, that you keep them, that you allow your face to shine upon them, that you give them mercy and grace and peace and prosperity, Father. Bless them, Father. Bless them coming in. Bless them going out. Bless them in all the ways of their lives, Father. Let them walk in peace, and let them walk in fullness of your grace and of your glory, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. God bless you guys. Austin and I write the summary up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Sounds good, brother. Yes, guys, we appreciate all the support. Thank you for everything. Thank you for buying your multiple through us. Those are always selling. Great product to start off with, our Ultimate Multiple. If you guys need anything on the website, of course, as always, check us out, healthmasters.com. You can also go on there and email us on our contact form, or call us 1-800-726-1834. Also, too, if you want to check out the product of the week, Prostate Support. It's on sale for over 10% off. You can also go on there and vote for the other products that are winning Product of the Week. Looks like the Thyroid Support is pulling pretty hard. So if you want that one to win, go on there and vote for it. Check it out. Thank you guys for everything. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.